to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We're live on AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, going out to our affiliate stations on the Liberty News Radio Network and internet and satellite venues as well. I'm your host, James Edwards. Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be co-hosting with me for the bulk of this third hour tonight on our Labor Day holiday weekend special. However, picking up right where we left off, going from the end of the second hour into the top of the third hour, we are talking with Paul Fromm, whose cell phone is on life support right now. It doesn't help that I was 15 minutes late getting a hold of Paul. That was my fault, but we're going to try to quickly summarize that which he was sharing with us a few minutes ago. Big victory, perhaps one of the biggest victory, and I don't think I'm saying this I don't think I'm exaggerating this too much. Obviously, Nick Griffin's win was a big victory over there, but I think this is right up there with that. A huge victory for freedom of speech in Canada, and Paul had his fingerprints all over this victory for our people, and he's sharing just very briefly some details about it. Paul, essentially, you went to battle against the system. You beat the system. Free speech prevailed. You were able to overcome a very draconian, very Orwellian thought crime or a thought suppressive type of legislation up there, correct?
Well, yes. What we did was essentially get the internet censorship provisions of the Canadian Human Rights Act thrown out as unconstitutional. And this is a huge victory because the heavy hand of fines, prosecution where truth was no defense, intent was no defense, has hung heavily over patriots in Canada now for the ever since 2002, what was decided just to kind of recap from before the break there was the law had changed from what it was originally, and originally the argument was that it was really remedial, not punitive. But in 1998, they added fines. You could be fined $10,000 for your posting. You could, if you mentioned the person who prosecuted you, the complainant, and mentioned him negatively, well, that was retaliation. That could be good for $10,000 more. And if you made a disparaging remark mentioning one of the privileged groups, you know, like race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, about the person who complained about you, you could collect up to $20,000 more from you. So the argument we made, along with a whole lot of other ones, but the one that was bought by the member or judge in this case, a guy named Athanasius Hadjis, was that the law had changed, and it now was punitive, you know, because if a person can be fined, it's no longer remedial. And then in Mark's case, Mark had said, well, look, the major area that Richard Warman had complained about, Richard Warman is an Ottawa lawyer, professional complainant who's made a bucket load of money from awards given to him. Mark had said, well, look, before you even made the complaint, I removed the message board that on which a number of the comments were located that Warman didn't like. And he said, there are only four more comments up. I'll take them down. So he took them down. And then Mark said, well, let's have mediation. The law says this is all about remedial measures. It's not punitive. Well, you know, can we settle this thing? And Warren absolutely refused mediation. In addition, and at that point, I moved, as one of the intervening parties, that the charges be dropped. I said, look, the law is remedial. There's nothing to talk about anymore. I mean, the posts are down. This is, you know, all moot. I don't know, the hearings forged ahead and wasted tens of thousands of dollars of money and four more years of people's lives. And judge decided was, in fact, the law has changed. It's now punitive. That's not what the Supreme Court upheld. And so he struck down the law or he ruled it unconstitutional in this case. So this is a huge victory. And we are now going to start, I have process of composing letters to him to reverse the penalties that he imposed on, on four of my previous clients. And this is a huge victory. It's getting immense publicity in Canada, and the enemy is going nuts. The Canadian Jewish Congress is demanding that the Canadian Human Rights Commission and Richard Warman appeal it, or actually seek judicial review. But essentially, that's the same thing. That is, go to a real court and say that the Hedges got it all wrong, and that this should remain as the law. But this has been a huge victory, and it's a battle. Now, the war isn't over until either the government withdraws the legislation or the Supreme Court of Canada finally rules it unconstitutional. The battle might go on, but it's going to make it very difficult for the Human Rights Commission to prosecute anybody else under this. So, it's a major victory, but you would not believe the amount of abuse we have taken. I lost a major libel case to Warren, who was punishing me for calling him an enemy of free speech and calling him a censor. Mark Lemire we've raised tens of thousands of dollars in this battle. It's cost an awful lot of people a lot of time and money and worry. We've been in a major battle up here.
Well, Paul, listen, you can't understate the magnitude of the victory that has been sustained up there in Canada. Thank you for not only sharing with our audience tonight the magnitude of that success, but for also playing a very instrumental role in that victory. And this is something, listen, folks, free speech in Canada just got liberated, or it went a long way to becoming liberated. And we're going to put more information up on our website about this. But when I read about this last week, I said, if we have one guest on the show this week, it's got to be Paul Fromm. This is something, ladies and gentlemen, that you've been asking for, something that you can invest your hope in, something that you can take pride in, and you can thank Paul Fromm for it. Paul, I know in addition to being on vacation, your cell phone is low. I apologize again for being late getting in touch with you, but thank you so much for spending a little extra time with us this segment and in this hour and giving us this great news. I tell you, you've really made my week.
Well, thanks, James. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for being such a great patron. And I have a feeling I might be seeing you sometime in the next 6 weeks.
I have a feeling that we never go too long without seeing one another, but that's the way it should be. People working for a common cause should run in together from time to time, and certainly we do. And, Paul, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks a lot, James. Bye-bye.
Paul Fromm, everyone, vacationing but taking the time out, taking a much-needed vacation from his great victory up there, but taking the time out to make news of his victory known to our audience tonight. And now, like I said, we're running about 15 minutes late, and I take all the responsibility for that, but our good friend and everyone's favorite cesspool host, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, is on with us now, and he's going to be sitting in with me for the next 45 minutes. Eddie's got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, don't you, Big E?
I sure do. Hey, James, it is your fault, man. You always screw things up.
Well, I know. I do the best I can with what I got.
Hey, we have another little treat lined up tonight the last half of the third hour. One of our biggest supporters is going to call in a little bit. He has four children, and him and his wife are concerned about the vaccinations. We're going to talk about vaccinations a little bit at the last 20 or 30 minutes or so. And that's just one of the things we got online today. You know, James and I, we talked about activism some during the week, and I think we're going to talk about that a little bit, aren't we, James?
We're going to talk about everything.
Okay.
As much as we can in 45 minutes. Now, I tell you what, Biggie, we got to get you home for the whole show next week. It's just, what are we going to do? It's been too long, and as I said, you're such a fan favorite. But we are going to talk a lot. Eddie has done a lot of research on this segment he's going to be bringing to our attention during the last half hour of the program tonight with regards to vaccination. And of course, this all coincides with healthcare, and that's been a big conversation, to say the least, in the country. But yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about activism for the next 15 minutes after we come up on this break, and then we're going to be talking about vaccinations, and Eddie's going to clue us in on some of the research he's done. But Eddie, big news from Canada, I tell you. Anytime we win a victory, it's such a rare occurrence, I guess.
I wish I could have heard him, James. If I'd have been on the radio, I could have probably heard him. I could barely hear him over the phone, but I guess because his phone was cell phone was low.
You know, you've been listening to the show tonight, though. Have you been tuned in on the radio?
You better know it. And your number one, hey, I'm not their number one fan. Your number one fan is my wife, Brenda. She's listening to every word. In fact, when I try to say something like, "Hey, where'd you do with ice cream?" She doesn't mean to shut up, man. She listens to the test booth.
So we're coming through live and clear on 1380 tonight, I guess.
Yeah, she's been back there in the back listening while I was reading, and I was doing a little bit of research, a little bit of last-minute research on vaccinations while I was listening to the cesspool.
Well, you're doing it all, Biggie,
yes,
and
sir,
we'll
buddy.
Be back. James Edwards and Eddie the Bombardier Miller right after this break. We're going to kick it into high gear. Sit tight, everybody.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. It's been a show that's been tempered with some news that you ought to know that perhaps isn't so uplifting, but certainly some very encouraging news being presented to you as well tonight, specifically during the first hour. I think some very good results that Keith Alexander shared with you. And obviously Paul Fromm, it goes without saying, that's perhaps one of the biggest victories of the decade for liberty and for freedom of speech. Even though it's up there in Canada, you know, listen, as Paul said, they don't have a First Amendment. They're not guaranteed. And even though we are guaranteed it, we still barely have it here in America. They're not guaranteed the freedom of speech in Canada. Yet they were able to score a very big victory in court thanks to the legal expertise of Paul Fromm, and we're going to have more information about that on our website. But I want to talk with Eddie here a little bit about activism. I'm joined now by my co-host, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, one of the four regular Cesspool co-hosts. And during the last half hour, Eddie's going to be talking about a subject he's been researching regarding vaccinations. But Ed, I saw a story. This is, again, something we blogged about on thepoliticalcesspool.org. Ben and Jerry's has invented the world's first homosexual ice cream. And here's the story. It says Ben and Jerry's thankfully retained its activist edge after being bought by food giant Unilever in 2000. Now, to mark the legalization of same-sex marriages in Vermont, the ice cream company has changed the name of its popular Chubby Hubby ice cream to Hubby Hubby for the month of September. Okay, this in and of itself is just a gross and obnoxious story of a liberal ice cream company forcing down the throat of its consumers that which is alien to its base. 90%+ of the country still believes, as backwards as we are, that sodomy, homosexuality is a perversion, it's disgusting, it's immoral. Yet here's Ben and Jerry's pandering to what the less than 10% of the country who is outspokenly radicalized homosexuals by making this Hubby Hubby ice cream, so-called. Now, that in and of itself, Ed, isn't that big of a deal. What is the big deal is that, let's face it, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Isn't that what they say? You've got this, and now obviously the media magnifies their voice exponentially so, and it gives them a much bigger voice than they have by themselves, but these radical homosexuals are in your face. They actually do things that we would never do in terms of violence and advocating violence and doing things extra legally. But they are outspoken. You can't deny them that. And because they're outspoken and that and many other reasons, they're getting away with this kind of stuff and they're getting this kind of pandering treatment. Now, the point is this. Ben & Jerry's makes this ice cream to pander to the 2 or 3% of the country that is a radicalized homosexual. Why? Where's the churches, Eddie? Where are the people, where are the normal Christian conservative people who think like us? Why isn't there some sort of organized resistance? It's because our people don't know how to organize and become active, do they, Ed? They think that the recipe for success is licking a stamp and begging these liberals to see it our way. That's not the way to get the job done.
That's for sure. You know, as our great beloved brother Keith has said often, talking about Keith Alexander, and I heard him say it tonight, the one thing liberals fear is an empty purse. And, you know, people that don't want to really get involved actively, James, I mean, you don't have to get involved violently, but if people are so afraid to even write letters or too lazy to write letters, what they could just boycott Ben and Jerry's. And I noticed you and Keith were talking about the sports situation tonight, you know, that eliminates whites out of sports. So once again, people, and Keith mentioned this, don't go to the football games, but I could go one better than that. We could go, we could have people to go and peacefully protest the affirmative action football games, the reverse discrimination. You know, we could have signs, anybody that wants to, that doesn't have to be organized, we could go and say, you know, we're not going to go to these games because they discriminate against, well, better white athletes. White athletes are just as qualified to play. There's 100 ways to do things like that, to be an activist.
Well, that's exactly what the other side would do. I can see it right now, forming a ring around the arena and say, you know, NFL needs to stop discrimination against European Americans. Why aren't our people doing that? Why is a people who has accomplished so much throughout the history of civilization too scared to stand up for their own right of self-determination now? I don't know where we went wrong over the course of the last, I mean, the same people who are fighting for the Confederate States of America won't get up now and make sure that their kid can get into a good school. They don't want to even fight affirmative action.
You know what? Also, just a few minutes ago, James, you said something that we have hammered in on this show ever since I've been a member, and that is, where are the churches? Why are they so afraid? And the churches. Well,
and that's why I brought it up, Ed, with regards to this.
Yeah,
this ice cream thing is homosexuality is one of the few things the churches still talk about.
And you know what? And as you know, I belong to a Baptist church, but I'm really starting to get, you know, kind of feeling bad about that because they'll talk about it some inside the churches, but they won't do anything about it. You can't get them organized. I mean, I can't. You can't even have a meeting in church because they're so afraid if it's political, they're going to lose their beloved tax-free status.
Well, that's just it. I mean, and this show is a Christian program, and all of the hosting staff are self-avowed Christians. But, you know, the church can be perverted where the faith is not. The faith can be pure, and the people who are in these modern-day churches can be, dropping the ball. And that's certainly what's happening.
Well spoken. That's very well spoken. You know, not toot my own horn, but just today, I made up a big sign, and we live here in Memphis. I know a lot of people, our listeners, don't know where Memphis is. Probably couldn't find it. You know, it's just kind of a backwater town, you might say. But I went to probably the busiest section in this city, in Shelby County, and held up a sign by myself saying, you know, in the Federal Reserve. And I only got one negative response. The rest of the responses I got didn't get many responses, really, but they were all positive except one. And this was from an employee from the Navy base out here in Millington, because you could expect a professional, you know, government employee to react like that. But and then they told me, well, you know, just the same thing that John Birchers would tell you, James, that I shouldn't be out there in the street doing that, you know. Potentially, inhibiting traffic, I should write my congressman and my senators. And I said, you know, I mean, that's like being in a jail, in Stalin's jail, and writing to Stalin to protest.
Writing to the warden, I mean, of the gulag.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, protesting to the mafia about, you know, having to pay your insurance or keep your store open. But James, I would very much like to, if I could get some way to people to get in touch with me, I would like to, and not necessarily form a tight-knit group, because anytime you have a central command situation that's tight-knit, you're always going to get infiltrated there. As a matter of fact, you, me, and Keith, and Henry were talking about that just Thursday. you know, you'll always get infiltrated.
Well, it's going to become corrupted one way or the other. But, I mean, as long as you're not doing anything illegal.
All we need to do is get together. Hey, if we have some feds that come in and infiltrate, hey, I'll give them a sign. If they want to hold signs up, that's fine, because we're not going to do anything illegal or violent. We need to take to the streets. And, you know, instead of having these little tea bag parties, for instance, I think we should go downtown and march around the federal building, just like I think it was Joshua did when he went and marched around the
Bank. Absolutely. And we got less than 10 seconds before the break, but mimic the tactics of the left. Mimic the tactics that were effective. What did they do during the radical civil rights era? They didn't drop tea bags into a bathtub like we're doing right now. But we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. It's an honor and a privilege to serve as your voice, ladies and gentlemen. And we talk about some taboo issues on this program. But we truly believe, wholeheartedly believe, that we are right on these issues and that we are taking a righteous stand on these issues. And that's what motivates us to do what we do. That alone motivates us to do what we do, to serve our family, to serve our people, and to do what we think is right for our people and for this country. That's why we host the Political Cesspool. That's why we've done it for 5 years. And if you want to be involved with this show, Eddie was talking in the last segment, and I think rightfully so, about the need for our people to do more with regards to activism, taking to the streets, waving signs, not being a public nuisance, but certainly letting people know that there is another train of thought out there on some very important issues that are facing them. Obviously, the tactic of begging for breadcrumbs off of our congressman's table is not getting the job done in terms of turning the rudder and reclaiming America's destiny. We've got to do more, and here in the Political Cesspool, we aim to do more. And if you want to do more, if you want to work with us, you can support us financially, or you can be involved in some of the outreach efforts that we have in communities. The Political Cesspool played an instrumental role. In fact, we were the driving force in saving 3 Confederate parks here in Memphis, Tennessee. If it weren't for us, these parks would be gone. Even the left-wing media gives us credit for that. We've done some good. We want to continue to do good, but we need you to stand with us together. We will make a difference. And if you want to be a part of our activism and efforts, go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and you can email us there. Go to the contact page. You can email Eddie Miller. There's a link to his email address. Of course, I'm James Edwards at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Drop us a line. We will put you to work on the front lines for God and country. But Ed, I know you have gone to great lengths to prepare a segment now, which we're going to be focusing on for the last half hour of tonight's live program this Labor Day weekend. Flu season is coming up. That means vaccines for a lot of our elderly. And of course, we're always talking about the needs to get vaccines for our kids, vaccines for our babies, expectant mothers, the elderly, you name it. The government wants to have us vaccinated. What's up with that, Ed?
Yes, sir. James, I tell you what, you're absolutely right. And hey, but before I get involved too far, we're going to bring Henry in tonight. One of our fellow Cesspoolians. He has 4 children, and you know, I can think of no one that's more interested in vaccines and children's health than Henry. But yeah, you know, first of all, James, I've researched this a great deal, like I've told you, from people like Dr. Russell Blaylock. He is a world renowned brain surgeon. He's written textbooks. He's developed delicate brain operations that he was the very first ones to do in the whole world. People like Dr. Joyce Tenpenny, and they will tell you right now that there has never been a case in the world where any type of vaccine has been proven to stop a disease. I mean, it seems a revolutionary idea, but it's true. And not only that, it doesn't stop a disease, it won't prevent the disease, but it is very damaging. It's very harmful. For instance, with the swine flu outbreak in 1976, they had to pull the vaccines off the market because the vaccines were killing more people than the flu, than the actual flu disease was. And the vaccines they have nowadays, James, they are putting in things like what they call adjuvants. And an adjuvant, I think I was telling you some of this the other day. So an adjuvant is a chemical or a substance that puts the animal, human animal, any animal you want, which is talked about humans tonight, that gets our immune system in hyper overdrive. And some of these adjuvants are viruses that have been had human DNA and genes attached to them, linked to them, and when they are injected into the humans into the human body, it creates a antigen antibody reaction, and it can cause an autoimmune reaction where the body actually attacks itself. And some of the diseases that they know that these vaccines have caused have come on the scene. Has it accelerated the cause of these diseases to come on? Or Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, amyotrophic sclerosis, which is an incurable disease that cripples people. They know for sure that it causes juvenile arthritis. You know, kids nowadays, James, are getting arthritis at, 6, 8, 10 years old. And I was talking to my little Cesspoolian brother tonight about these vaccines, and you might not notice anything happening with the first series of shots, but many times they do. Many times people can have a shot when the kids are, 6, 8, 10 months old, and they can go right into autism. Let me give you a statistic. My best friend in the world is a doctor in Alabama. His name is Charles McGahey. And he did research all the way back in the 70s, and he noticed then that the incidence of autism, Alzheimer's, and cancer, you never saw that. You never saw it in the population between 1900 and 1920. You never saw it. People just didn't get it. They died of, gunshot wounds, logs falling on them. Now, they did get typhoid fever, yellow fever, things like that. But you never see yellow fever anymore. And it's not because we have vaccines for yellow fever. It's because we have much better hygiene. Dr. Walter Reed, the famous Army doctor, discovered the vaccines. He discovered what caused the yellow fever in the Panama Canal Zone when the United States Army Corps of Engineers were building the Panama Canal. He discovered that mosquito, I believe it was the Anopheles mosquito, they were the ones that carried the disease, and they had to have standing water to lay their eggs. And just about anybody in the South knows that. Well, what he did is just a simple thing. He'd had them to drain in these swamps nearby where the construction workers were working. He covered all their water supplies. With the construction workers, they had mosquito netting put over their bunks, and that's how they cured yellow fever. The polio vaccine, when the polios came along in the 1950s and 60s, people were vaccinated in mass for polio. In fact, I was myself. Well, if you look at the vaccinations, when they started vaccinating people, you'll see, the rate of polio did go down after the vaccinations. But what people don't look at is before, 10, 15, 20 years before the vaccinations program started, the rate was dropping drastically then. Once again, because we had much better hygiene. People were getting away from the outhouses. They were getting away from the contaminated wells. When they did have wells, they were covering them with screen. They were keeping the insects out of them. And we just had much better nutrition. We had a lot better sanitation. We had closed sewers. We used to have an open sewer here in Memphis, but. These vaccines now are deadly. Not only do they have the adjuvants in them, they have chemicals called thimerosal, which is basically a mercury compound. And there's no greater substance in the world than mercury to put into your body. And this mercury, when this mercury compound gets in your body, it can unite. It can form a compound with fluoride, the sodium fluoride we get in our water. And it also can combine with aluminum, and you get aluminum deposits, and you can get these aluminum deposits in your brain, and they know for certain now that that causes Alzheimer's. This is a great cause for Alzheimer's. But I tell you what, I would recommend anybody right now, and I'm not a medical doctor, I'm not trying to give you any medical advice, but I myself am not going to take any type of vaccination at all, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Anybody doesn't believe me, just assume that I am a liar. Just assume I'm a raving lunatic. I don't know what I'm talking about. But I can give you some websites you can go in. You can go in and you can look at the Blaylock Report. He's the Dr. Russell Blaylock. He's the world-renowned brain surgeon and neurologist I was telling you about. But hey, is Henry on the phone? Is Henry on the line?
Henry is on the line. We're going to get to him.
I'm going to give Henry some time to ask me some questions, and I'd like to hear his own voice.
We're going to get that. We're going to get to that in just 1 second. We have less than a minute left, and when we come back, we're going to have Henry. My goodness, you can't say enough about Henry and the role he's played in the development of this program behind the scenes. It's good to have him on the air tonight for the first time. I'm going to be talking with Eddie about this issue when we come back from break. But, Eddie, you might not be a doctor, but you're certainly not a novice when it comes to the medical field either. You have a history as a combat medic in the United States Army. You did that, and you've also spent a career as a registered nurse. So you definitely have an abundance of experience in this realm, certainly much more so than myself and the other novices. All we do is go to the doctors. You've worked in hospitals for countless years in addition to your time in the Army. So you know a lot about this, so don't be modest. And this is all good advice and could save your life, ladies and gentlemen. So more forthcoming with Eddie the Bombardier Miller's public service announcement on vaccines when the political cesspool continues right after these words.
They took the home. Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
James Edwards here with you, everyone. I'm joined this third hour by my co-host, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and we're trying to do what we can with what we've got, trying to cover it all during the 3 hours we've got with you each and every week here on the Liberty News Radio Network. And Eddie is doing a fantastic presentation right now on an issue that you need to know about. We try not only to cover the salient and contemporary political issues, but certainly those that have your health at stake as well. And Eddie, with that being said, I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, you know, James, unfortunately, some of these vaccination programs have been politicized. The government is really pushing it hard. And a lot of people might think I'm a crackpot. But that's okay, because you know, I'm not calling myself a pioneer, because I'm not. I'm just getting this information from the pioneers, and you know, the first people, you know, the patriot in the beginning is always called a crackpot or a nut, and he's belittled. But you know, the CDC just leaked some of this information out long ago. They sent a memorandum out to some of the top virologists in the country, tell them to be on the lookout for a lot of these degenerative brain disorders from some of these viruses that they've turned loose in these vaccines that they know they're contaminated. Hey, but hey, is Henry on the line yet? I didn't want to get too long-winded, you know. And is Henry on the line now?
Absolutely, yes.
Hey, Henry. Henry's one of our beloved cesspoolians, and like I said, I told him about you earlier, Henry. Tonight, you have 4 children, and you know, you told me that you and your wife, not unlike a lot of other people, are kind of have had some concern about these vaccines. And I had volunteered to the best of my ability. Like I say, I'm no expert, but I've read a lot on this stuff, and I think you might have some questions.
Right. Well, you know, I'll give you my 2 cents. We, you know, I've got a 7-year-old, 2 5-year-olds, and a 1-year-old, and our research, you know, we did a lot of research on it, and we decided to go with the bare minimum, or alternative vaccine. Maybe, you know, our information, we were exposed to a little bit different information than you were, but, you know, I knew full well that there was concerns. You know, I'm glad you mentioned the polio vaccine. You know, there was a 1 in 20,000 chance of catching polio, you know, if you get the vaccine. But up till here just a few years ago, it was a 0% chance. I mean, why even get vaccinated for it? But, I mean, you know, I guess the question I've got, some of these new diseases coming on now, you know, is there really a social responsibility to vaccinate?
I'm sorry, Henry, I'm having kind of a hard time hearing you. Can you?
Yeah, I was just asking, with the advent, some of these new, some of these diseases creeping back into
mainstream. Oh, I see. Okay, I understand now.
Into the United States, is there a social responsibility for parents to vaccinate?
Oh, I understand what you're talking about. For instance, a couple of the diseases that we mentioned earlier today, you and I, were the tuberculosis that's coming back in. To the best of my knowledge, Henry, and I'm not sure about this. I'm not, like I say, I'm not the all world expert. I don't believe there is a vaccination for tuberculosis. And we're also, I worked here at one of the major hospitals in Memphis, and we had the Methodist Hospital System. We of the four hospitals in the area, we were the only hospital that I'm familiar with, that I know of, that had the reverse isolation rooms for the tuberculosis patients. Now, there are drugs to treat tuberculosis that once you get it, but as far as I know, there's no vaccine to prevent that. Now, of the diseases that are new, the new diseases are coming on, these are the two of the ones that I know of, that and leprosy. You know, a lot of people may not know, but leprosy has coming on the scene here, rearing its head, and especially in the southwest areas in Texas, in Arizona, and New Mexico. Hell, we even have leper colonies now. And guys, that's one of the many blessings of multiculturalism.
You got that right, Ed. The quickest way to cure polio and tuberculosis is to close the border to third world immigration, but that's another issue.
You got that right. And James, you probably never even heard, as young as you are, I can vaguely remember, I'm 62 years old, I can vaguely remember, and I know Henry's younger than me too, Henry's only 39 years old, he's just a mere child, they closed the old sanitarium over here off of Lamar, probably, I guess back in 1960, somewhere around there, but we just totally wiped out the tuberculosis, and it was from, quarantining people. Well, that's a big dodo right now nowadays. For instance, they can't quarantine people with HIV virus because it's considered HIV is the only disease that has its own affirmative action bureau. But you can't treat anybody with HIV any differently than you could someone who's perfectly healthy. For God forbid, though, we discriminate against homosexuals. But Henry, do you have any more diseases that any more new diseases on the scene that I'm not aware of? Like I mentioned, like I said, tuberculosis. And I mentioned the leprosy, but I'm not really familiar of any more coming up on the scene. I hadn't heard of any cases of the smallpox popping back up on the scene. I'm not really, I hadn't heard of anything like that. You don't never hear typhoid fever anymore, or whooping cough. Are there any more diseases you had on mind specifically?
Well, yeah, just kind of along those same lines, hepatitis, they'll vaccinate a very young child, just a few months old, and there's really no risk of them getting hepatitis till they're teenagers, You could really eliminate a lot of these eliminate the vaccines. I know a lot of parents that stay home and homeschool and breastfeed. A lot of them they opt out, and we're really having trouble with the doctors. What about the code of ethics? They're not going to see you if you're not vaccinated. Most of them won't.
You couldn't pay me to be a doctor. There's not enough money in the world to make me be a doctor. If you want to see a slave nowadays, a modern slave, you go see a doctor, especially the young ones. Not to dog them, but they don't have the education. I'm just to quote Dr. Russell Blaylock, the world-renowned vaccine expert I was telling you about, and Dr. Tenpenny. the average doctor has the very minor, barest training in vaccines. About the only information they get is reading the inserts from the vaccination packages or from a drug rep. They don't read the major studies done by the universities and the independent research agencies. They don't read those. That information is not put out a lot of times for a reason, because these drug companies don't want us to know that. But here's what Dr. Russell Blaylock says. Quote, he says, vaccinations do not cure anything. He says there's no, unquote, there's no reason, first of all, to take a vaccination, because there's not one shred of evidence proving that vaccinations can cure a disease. But there is mountains of evidence showing that they cause tremendous harm, irreparable harm. They cause death in many cases. They cause, irreversible brain damage. They cause, Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is, a severe nerve disease that can be lethal, be fatal. It's what it does. These viruses, for instance, that cause Guillain-Barré, they attack this thing called the myelin sheath that lines the nerve tracts that lead from one branch of nerves to another branch of nerves. Matter of fact, there was a movie made about that back in the early 1960s. But my answer to you, Henry, would be, just to sum it up, I guess, would be, if you can't prove that a vaccination is effective, and you know that it has been proven that they can be very harmful, why would you ever want to risk that?
Well, that's
like you point out yourself, Henry. And by the way, Henry, you have really impressed me tonight about the research you have done.
Thanks.
We've got an impressive.
They do not know of the long term effects. They're just pumping the kids full of vaccines at an early age, and they just don't know. Talking with a friend of mine not too long ago, and she was talking about a child that died on the way home from taking her vaccine. Of course, they can't link that to the vaccines. Nope, nobody really knows. But
just another
so often though.
Another coincidence, guys. I'm sure. But listen. What a great segment this has been. What a great show it's been. And Henry, thanks for calling in. And Eddie, thanks for being so well prepared for this presentation tonight during the third hour. Folks, if you have any more questions about vaccines or anything that we've been covering here, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and send an email to our resident registered nurse, Big E, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. He'll get back with you. And we're flat out of time. Guys, we got to go get a snow cone. I know when we went out for barbecue with Keith this week, he wouldn't take us to get a snow cone, but we're going to make it happen this week. And for the rest of you,
barbecue place. I told him that's the first time I ever got a meal out of you. But I'm treating you next time, buddy.
Oh, you got it, Big Eddie. We're out of time, guys. For Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Winston Smith, and Bill Rowland, I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week right here in the Political Cesspool.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.